Hey, what's going on, guys? This episode of The Chase Down is brought to you by MyBookie. It's a brand new football season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell's on the Jets. And Odell is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all of the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Our Blue Wire podcasters are using mybookie.com/bluewire to sign up this year. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb to the leaderboard and score your share of a huge cash prize pool. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE when you're creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid. All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Chase Down Podcast. We got a special episode today. Of course, the podcast brought to you by Blue Wire. I'm with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
You know what? I'm not really at 100% feeling a little under the weather today, but I think it's important that we don't bail for 3 out of 4 weeks.
Yeah, the 2 week break only works if you come back consistently after that.
Yeah, you hate to see this happen.
We do have a special guest today, though, that's going to help us break down a very special episode for us. Fun little idea that we stole, but we'll get into that in a minute. Evan Damerol, who is a Cavs writer at Forbes, as well as one of our co-workers at Fear the Sword. Evan, how's it going, buddy? Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you having me on. It means a lot that I get to experience firsthand this experience of you teaching the unwashed masses like myself what is the right way to think and analyze NBA basketball.
We do recommend that you shower before you come on the pod, but that's okay. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Evan. Is it Damerol or Damerol?
Damerol, Damerol, all. I've heard it all at this point in my life. It's always been a pun for coaches for sports.
Damn it all!
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yep,
there we are.
Rhyming Evan. He is in the house today. Evan is you're also the first to really come as like one of our loyal followers in our Discord chat onto the podcast. And in our Discord chat, we actually had a really good suggestion from Shane, who had said we should basically steal an idea from Mina Kimes, which her and Golic Jr., they drafted NFL teams on who is most likely to win the Super Bowl. And then they're going to keep a point system. So every round that team that you drafted makes in the playoffs, you get an extra point. So first round's 1 point, second round's 2 points, et cetera, until the eventual champion is crowned. So we're going to keep track of that. And it's a good way, instead of just power rankings, to talk about all 30 teams. Obviously, as we get a little further down the list, it's going to be teams that we probably don't want to go as in depth on, but it's also fun to get those long shots to potentially make the playoffs and get a few points. So Evan, as our guest, we are going to let you go first. And I want to hear who your top first overall pick is for winning the NBA championship next season.
It's super unoriginal of me, but I'm going to go with the LA Clippers. They had the best offseason by far and moved the needle to become the biggest title threat. Vegas says so too, and it says a lot that you can make the shadow of the Lakers a lot smaller, and I mean, I'm all for it.
No, absolutely. Like, I don't know about you guys, I am a little concerned, and the Clipper brand probably has something to do with this, but I'm concerned about injuries there. Paul George has had two shoulder surgeries in the last year. Kawhi Leonard, they really have to manage his minutes. He probably, you're never going to get as managed as he was last season, and his body still could barely hold up to the playoffs. He played well through it, but it was breaking down. He had trouble getting off his feet. Are either of you guys concerned about what kind of the downside is with this team?
You know, it's like, ultimately, it's just the best of a series of like mediocre choices. Like, if we were going to do this exercise in a year, like, this is kind of the worst one to, in the last like 10 years, to have the first overall pick. Like, just about anyone could be in that top four, top five range. And like, yeah, the Clippers like have that like injury downside possibility. But on the other hand, like, what are you going to do? You know, pick the Bucks. I guess that works. Like, they're going to be pretty good, but they also might not even make the finals. Like, I think it's a defensible choice. Though I think that there are reasons to be concerned about this Clippers team, mainly that Paul George's shoulder is like crushed into a fine powder at this point.
Yeah, they also have some concerns in the playmaking department too, I think. But sure do. You feel good about it, Evan? You don't feel like it's too risky at first overall?
No, it's just this. I feel like it's the safest pick out of the top four. Okay. But I do agree with what Carter said. There is a risk of injury for, God, any team that's making the playoffs this year. Since Kevin Durant's out, you can use the term parity this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough to predict. You can't really see into the future barring anything that unforeseen. But I think, like you said, Kawhi is going to have struggles with load management this year. And Paul George's injury history is definitely concerning. But I'm just going to stay on the side of cautiously optimistic that they are the best team in the league coming out of the gates. And hopefully, knock on wood for them, health stays in their favor.
Well, I respect the decision. I'm also pretty thrilled here picking at number two to get the Milwaukee Bucks. That to me, part of my logic there for the Bucks is obviously they had the best record in the league last year. They're going to have a little bit more experience now. I think Giannis is just going to continue to get better. Obviously, you have some concerns with Malcolm Brogdon no longer being there, but I still think that nobody else in the East has really improved in a way that makes me feel like they can overcome what the Bucks are. And Giannis, I think they just have the easiest path to the finals. And my logic here is if I can at least get with my first pick a team that's making the finals, I feel pretty damn good about that.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the safe choice. You know, I mean, ultimately, like, the Clippers are a little riskier, but maybe a higher ceiling. The Bucks are like, this is a Mike Budenholzer team, guys. Like, they're going to probably finish with a top three pick. And, you know, we'll see how they look in the playoffs with Brogdon gone. But, you know, I think I'm going to make a pick that Justin might just hate. I don't know.
You don't want to go in more in depth on the Bucks? We didn't even get Evan's thoughts. Evan, this is now you're getting your firsthand experience of how difficult it is to work with Carter, because Carter's like, you know what, I'm going to be a little bit sluggish. You might have to do some heavy lifting. I'm under the weather. And then, bam, he's taking over the conversation. This is classic Carter. I need Evan's thoughts, God damn it.
Well, first, I mean, maybe Twitter was right in the end, but I agree with the Bucks being actually there. If I had to rank it, I'd put them at number two. Depends who they meet up with in the playoffs, but I think the luxury for them is also the East got weaker with Kawhi leaving and the Raptors stonewalled Giannis and the Bucks. Losing Brogdon does hurt, but Ty Windish has pointed out to me and a few others that Brogdon also made a lot of his baskets off of wide open looks last year. And maybe that signing by Indiana is not going to look as sexy when he's commanding a ton of defensive attention, especially with Oladipo out. So
I do think Wes Matthews is a good, like,
I do too.
Patchwork fix for them. Like, he's a very willing shooter. And like, that was kind of their problem. Like, Giannis was still getting guys looks. They just were like not pulling the trigger fast enough on him.
Yeah. Yeah. And unlike the Lakers, the Bucks do have a George Hill. So that's definitely something that's in their favor. I don't know about you guys. I also really like Robin Lopez. Like, that's a guy that I'm like, I've been waiting for him to be on a good team. And I just think that's such a nice fit with him and Giannis. Like, that's just a nice pick and roll big man that isn't going to try to do too much.
That's definitely why you should take him second overall, Justin. Good choice. I've been sold. They've got Robin Lopez to play 12 minutes a game.
All right, Mr. Snake Draft. Carter, make your, the first of your two picks.
Well, you know, you're not going to like this one, I don't think. But I think that while the there isn't a clear number one, I do think there's a clear top two,
okay,
which leaves me in a bit of an odd spot. So I'm just going to go ahead and piss everyone off by going with the L.A. Lakers of Los Angeles.
See, I thought I was going to get good value later on. I was hoping I could get them in the third round because we're all Lakers haters. But I actually really don't hate this pick, especially when you got back-to-back picks here. Part of it, too, so you got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis. What I like about this pick is because you have LeBron, and he's only going to be there for like two more years before he comes back to Cleveland, he's going to force them to try to get even better, even though they don't really have a lot of assets. I think they're going to figure something out and try to improve the team just a little bit. I really don't hate that team. Like, that team looks better when you account for Danny Green being their third best player instead of the social media campaign around Kyle Kuzma.
My God, I'm going to just what depths will Lakers media go to gas up this guy for doing mundane thing? We've got Greg Popovich being thrilled that he didn't take a bad shot in transition. That was the takeaway of the day. We've got switched capably onto Jock Landale and Aaron Baines. And we've got shoved Donovan Mitchell in practice for a rebound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we doing?
I'm glad you said that exactly what it was, which was shoving Donovan Mitchell, because he didn't box out. And the whole clip was, he's been working on his rebounding. It was basically him just upright getting like tossed around in the air a little bit. And then, of course, I had to have the fun with him putting the ball in his own damn basket. The Kuzma experience, I just don't get it. Like, he's
it's annoying because I thought he was
a great pick for where they got him, but he was not a star.
Fine in that game. But like, Jesus, we weren't this annoying with Kyrie when he was in the World Cup, right? And that was
pretty annoying. But
that was pretty annoying too.
Actually, good. Kyrie won MVP of the tournament.
Yeah, and the funny thing is,
clips of every made bucket.
You actually just triggered me there, because I was talking about that on Twitter and someone jumped in. They're like, well, yeah, that's because Coach K just called for Kyrie ISOs every play down. I'm like, well, now I know you're not even talking about what actually happened, because he was fifth on the team in points per game. He was basically just a floor general. He led the team in assists. He played good defense. The only time he ever took over was in the championship game, because the team really didn't have anything going. Anyways, I digress. Evan, what do you think of Carter's pick of the Lakers there?
I think that's the other safe pick coming out of the West. It all hinges on safe in a sense that if you put a gun to my head and you told me to bet on a team, if it wasn't the Clippers, I'd be like, yeah, sure, it's the Lakers. I think LeBron is going to come back pretty motivated this year. Again, injuries can happen. I think the groin injury this year is the first time I can truly say LeBron looked like a mortal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it depends on how the rest of the roster shakes out. If you can get Anthony Davis to play a little center, and as much as he doesn't want to, it works out in your favor. You bring in Dwight Howard, you just build this. You just got yourself a stew going here. And I've joked with people a few times, but if the Lakers don't make the finals, I mean, it's not the first time Dwight Howard kept LeBron out of it. So.
Yikes, and not nice, because
wow,
triggered.
I'm getting a text from Daryl Morey right now. He's very he's very unhappy with what we're picking. Carter, you might as well go ahead with this next one. I got to deal with this.
I've considered making Daryl Morey happy with this pick, but instead I'm going to further annoy you, Justin. I'm taking the Sixers, baby. I think that's
Why would it annoy me if you're burning your picks?
I think it's a conference finalist, at the least. My picks are built around rewarding deep playoff runs, which is what this system is based on. Mm. It's not a wins pool. And I think I've got two conference finalists on my roster right now. And two potential finals participants. So I think that one thing that I've been wanting to talk about with the Sixers, and this actually gives us a good opportunity to do it, is you know, a lot of people are rightfully, including myself, rightfully concerned that they don't have a ton of primary playmakers on the team now that they don't have Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. But like, to some extent, I think this was the right move for them, even if it doesn't work, because Jimmy Butler was kind of a band-aid for them not having to figure out their Ben Simmons problem.
Yeah.
And how he fits with Embiid. And like, yeah, you can kind of say, okay, it hurts them in the short term, but like at some point they were going to need it not to be Jimmy Butler initiating offense down the stretch. Like at some point your two core pieces in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are going to have to carry you offensively. And I think that this roster makes a little bit more sense for Ben Simmons to do that. Now, whether he can or not, I think we're going to find out a lot about Ben Simmons' ceiling this year, but I'm banking that it's going to look a little better than people expect it to. That's why I picked them with my second pick.
Yeah, I like what they got back for Jimmy Butler. I would have liked to see them go get a point guard or a combo guard, someone that can initiate. Like Embiid and Horford don't fit well together at all.
No, they don't.
And I don't think pairing those two together, even though they're going to stagger them, at the end of the day, is when it's playoffs and it's a shortened rotation, the fact that you have to stagger two of your best players isn't ideal. And I don't think it accentuates what Ben Simmons does well, even though he theoretically has a jump shot now. I'm just not super high on them. But I'm very happy that you wasted your picks there. Evan, do you have anything to add on Carter's selection there of Al Horford in the playoffs?
I mean, that's a little mean. Tristan, I'll be fair, Tristan Thompson won't be hot in him if he stays in Cleveland this year. But Philly makes sense. Like I said, Kawhi leaving the East kind of swung open the doors for Milwaukee, and I think Philly as well. And let's just put it this way, Philly would be battling Milwaukee in the Eastern Finals if Kawhi didn't make that lucky to begin with. But a lot of it does hinge on Ben Simmons and his overall growth and if he's actually ready to initiate and take over an offense. And like you said, hey, he's hit those three-pointers in an open gym right now with Darius Garland, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's got last. I'm just going to quickly comment on that. It is nice to see Garland playing against Ben Simmons. Like, I can't think of a better guy for him to go up against in practice, because Simmons is a fantastic defender, and being able to score over that length is a very, very good thing. But thank you so much, Carter, for giving me a team at five that could legitimately win a championship here in the Denver Nuggets. I feel super, wow, super good about this. Continuity is huge. I think they're really going to benefit from this experience. Health is obviously going to be a big thing. I'm not really factoring in Michael Porter Jr. or Bol Bol, but just Jamal Murray and Gary Harris getting more growth is going to be good. Nikola Jokic, even though he's always got a running nose and his arms are always bleeding, he seems to be healthy on the court, or at least he continues to keep playing. I feel good about this. Like, I really do think, because of the potential volatility with the Lakers, the health concerns of the Clippers, I feel like the Nuggets are the safest bet to make it to the conference finals in the West. And I really, really feel good about this pick.
Dom in the comments correctly notes that Canadian bias is strong. Just say what you mean to say. Just say that you love Jamal Murray and that he's your favorite Canadian basketball player, and that you really want him to do well. And I think that's really nice of you, Justin. But yeah, I think that we saw this team make no real fundamental ads. I'm sorry, Jeremy Grant.
Grant, nice little player. Nice little player.
Doesn't matter at all. And this team lost to the Blazers in the playoffs, making that Blazers team perhaps the worst conference finalist in the last 10 years.
Yeah, at least since the Jazz got.
Yeah, so at least since the Jazz beat the We Believe Warriors. So, if you want to, you know, treat barely getting past a horrific Spurs team,
that was playoff DeMar, man. That's
losing to Enos Kanter. at the five. a title contender, sure. Be my guest. I'm not your boss. I think if this was a wins pool, I think it'd be a really nice pick.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. What about you, Evan? Do you have any thoughts before you get the power play of the back-to-back picks?
No, I respect the pick.
Denver. Yeah, there you go. Evan's on my side.
He respects all our picks. He's too nice.
I mean, Denver, it's tough because I'm real bullish on them. I like what they're building. They're a great regular season team. It just depends on if that experience paid off for them in the long run of that quote-unquote heartbreaking, I had no horse in the race, lost to the Blazers. But if that helps and if Jokic can actually get in the shape and load up with some NyQuil every night, I think – or maybe not NyQuil, DayQuil. He'll if he has an MVP caliber season, it makes a lot of sense for that because, I mean, he was in the conversation at one point for sure last year. But it's just – I don't know. I feel like Denver is – on the precipice of joining the truly elite in the Western Conference, but it feels like
Jeremy Grant probably did it for him, so that's great.
Yeah. I'm going to call Evan love them all because he loves all these picks. What's your next select?
Well, I got to get into the Eastern Conference race, and the third best team in my opinion in the East is the Celtics. And,
oh wow! Yeesh.
Hey, I did a playoff pool with Carter, and I got roasted for taking Jason Tatum early, and it ended up hurting me in the long run, but I'm going to double down on him again this year. This is just me going in with the fact that maybe Ben Simmons doesn't put it together and we get playoff Ben Simmons again. And Joel Embiid is has too much of an upset tummy to really play that. Just the lack of maturity on Philadelphia just is what ends up holding them back. And maybe Brett Brown is a lot more fraudulent than people are letting on because he's given a, you've been given a pretty long leash in Sixers Twitter. And I don't know. I mean, Brad Stevens is a fraud too. Let's be honest here. This is me taking my writer hat off, by the way, and just being a fan at this point. I can act a little bit more unprofessional. But
Evan, it is wild that I picked the Lakers in the first round. Radio silence from the viewers. Everyone's trying to kick your ass off the pod in the chat right now.
Okay. Dom wants us to cancel the podcast because this was now a bad idea.
Justin said, all right, we're done here. Sai said, Evan, no.
I can't repeat what Daryl Morey's texting me right now, but he is very unhappy, Evan. He was unhappy before, and now this is just getting worse. Please rectify the situation. They lost their three best players. Morris was better than Tatum last year overall. He had a more consistent impact than Tatum overall.
What a hater.
I'm not a hater.
You're such an asshole.
They had the exact same offensive output on the same efficiency, and Morris was a better defender last year. They lost their three best players and replaced them with Taco Fall, Enes Kanter, and Kemba Walker. No, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. Evan, next pick.
Well, you can tell Daryl to calm down. So I'm taking the Rockets.
Yeah, they couldn't last any longer than this.
No. I feel like they plateaued. I think Daryl's grand experiment is starting to reach the last of its ropes. Justin mentioned that this might be his last year in Houston altogether. So why not go out with a bang and get an injury prone point guard who could have arthritic knees for all we know and plenty of other problems and doesn't play well and is a ball dominant, and put him next to a moody ball dominant shooting guard who takes me thinking that he won't win the MVP next year as a slight already. So, but hey, they're going to be a good regular season team. I'm sure if the matchups shake up well, they could make a deep playoff run, but I said that last year too. And then the Warriors smoked them. So,
yeah, I think this is the right play, and I do think picking the Rockets right now is a good Russillo always talks about a good zag, everyone's kind of like shitting on them and we all like are laughing at the fit, but like I do think maybe they got just a little bit more talented in the mix. I don't know. CP3 is gonna fall off a cliff here very soon if he hasn't already. But also Russ was pretty weird, had a pretty weird season last year. So I don't know how to feel about them, Justin. Do you think in the end, they're just about as good as they were, because that's kind of where I'm at. And that was a conference finalist.
I think they got a little bit worse. Well, it was a conference finalist 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
They weren't last year because they choked. And I just think they're going to consistently get worse. I don't think they've really done anything to bolster their supporting cast. I think Russell Westbrook is a bad fit there. Maybe they stagger a little bit. But you're talking about two guys with historically high usages, and I don't think Russ has the mid-range game. They fit well when they were together in OKC, but that was a very, very different James Harden. That was a James Harden that resembles what we're going to see over the next couple of years with Kevin Porter Jr. So I'm glad that Evan made this pick, because if he picked another team, it would have forced me to take the Utah Jazz, and I really don't want to take Rudy Gobert. But I feel really good here getting the Golden State Warriors. I think
that's not the pick I was expecting, but it's a good pick.
I mean, you still have the big three there. Well, the lesser of the big three, the big three that orbited around Kevin Durant's superiority. But you add D'Angelo Russell. At the very least, I think you're going to get good value for D'Angelo Russell, like maybe get Robert Covington, a couple other pieces from the Wolves. Maybe it's a three-team deal type thing. And if they don't, I think he can help them out. I also like some of the other additions, at least from a depth standpoint. Like Kevon Looney was really good last year, and I think he's going to get better. Willie Cauley-Stein is great, but he's serviceable. I mean, you look how good look at how good they made JaVale McGee look. Alec Burks, I like Alec Burks. I think he can be a valuable guy on a playoff team. And I'm already listing more valuable role guys than they really had last year. Iguodala just didn't have it in the regular season. And I think those guys are going to give them a bit of a lift. I mean, they're still really, really damn good. And Klay Thompson's wakeboarding right now. How is this not being discussed more? Because wakeboarding is so damn stressful on your leg and knees. I say this as someone that's done it with bad knees. I don't understand how this guy's Wolverine. I think
I had to pick as a boogie board guy.
Was wakeboarding not douchey enough? I don't get it.
I don't know. I was just taking a chance to say boogie board.
I like it.
Boogie board in left hand, some booch in the right.
I know Evan's going to back me up on this Warriors pick. I can feel it.
I mean, yeah, that they're actually, I had them a lot higher, but it's just, it's, you're gambling on the potential of Russell and Curry working out and Klay Thompson coming back healthy. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they addressed, I mean, they lost Kevin Durant, big, huge loss. They traded away Iguodala. They're, instead of completely falling apart like the Cavs did when their dynasty or their run ended, The Warriors just kind of feel like they're retooling a little bit and lying in the weeds to strike again. And I think that Robert Covington trade is the most common idea amongst everyone in the NBA sphere. Yeah. So if that trade does work out in the end, I mean, shit, you have Steph Curry, who, as much as I like to dog on him, he's a serviceable defender at points. And then you have Klay Thompson and Robert Covington, who's pretty lethal to begin with. And you have Draymond, who's a defensive player of the year candidate. And then you could just put a body in at center.
Yeah.
And then
I think the Warriors, or Cauley-Stein works really well there. And like at the start of the year too, you brought it up, whether or not Steph and Russell can coexist. I mean, we know Steph is really good at deferring to other guys and standing back and watching them go to work. So, I think that there's definitely potential there.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good pick. I actually think they're good. Their continuity matters a lot. Like, we always talk about how teams don't scout the regular season, and that's why the Warriors have consistently looked so good offensively in the regular season when they're playing that Steve Kerr motion offense where Curry is just kind of scrambling around off ball. And I don't know. I just think that team makes a little bit more sense than people think they do. And I think Klay is just a cyborg. Like,
yeah, I'm
ACL injuries don't matter as much as they used to, especially for wings and guards. I think he'll be just fine.
CBD does wonders, man. CBD does wonders. I'm very high on continuity. Like, I'm looking at the picks. Like, Evan's got Clippers, Celtics, Rockets. You got Lakers and Sixers. All of those teams have had big turnover. Meanwhile, I got the Bucks, Nuggets, and Warriors. Like, I'm basically going all in on continuity right now.
That's fair. But I'm gonna take the reins and keep moving here, and I'm gonna go with the Utah Jazz.
Now, brave.
Now I'm picking every team that I've relentlessly dogged for the past forever, and I still think it's the right play. I love Mike Conley. I don't love the rest of the league. And if the Jazz are fraudulent, which I believe them to be, this is the year for fraudulent teams to make a push and win. I think the consistency of – because, like, the nice thing about, like, adding Conley is, like, it's a huge talent injection that helps insulate Donovan Mitchell from his worst tendencies, while also not being such a big talent injection that he actually throws off what they do. Like, they can still play – roughly the way they like to play, but just better. And I think this is really just kind of putting it out there that I just love Mike Conley. I think Bojan Bogdanovic is better than almost anyone realizes. And then they picked up our boy Jeff Green to replace Jay Crowder. And Jeff Green is just a good version of what people want Jay Crowder to be.
Our boy Matt Moore had Bogdanovic at third team all NBA. So
yeah, well, he's an absolute psychopath for that. But I do like him. I just think they have a lot more juice offensively, and I think they are less reliant on Rudy Gobert actually being as good as dumb people think he is.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, I'm going with the Jazz. Evan, your thoughts?
Like you said, it's a good year to see if a fraudulent team can not be fraudulent. That's why I'm banking on the Celtics and made the chat melt down a little bit.
There's really not a lot to say about the Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the Jazz that Mike Conley is.
It's just do you like Mike Conley or not?
I like Mike Conley a lot. He's just a solid point guard. And hey, if we learn that Donovan Mitchell is a little bit fraudulent and he looks a little washed up, it's just one more year closer until he gets traded to the Cavs. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, brother. Let's keep moving now. And I was kind of between two teams on this one, but I think ultimately I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers. I think that this is a team of tryhards. And again, they're a little fraudulent in their own way, except we just don't hate them because no one's taking their afternoons hyping up Indiana. But like, again, like they're not running into a LeBron type player. And if the bracket plays right, I think they can beat just about anyone in their best day except Milwaukee because they just won't have anything for Giannis. But ultimately, I think that if Oladipo comes back healthy, which I've got no indication that his injury is a career ruiner or anything, this is a team that just is going to play harder than everyone. And that does have a commodity in a watered down league. Your thoughts?
Ah, man, I really hate this pick. I'm sorry, man, but I know everyone's pointed to what the Pacers did last year without Oladipo, and okay, well, yeah, they can continue that. It seems to be the general consensus. But losing Thad Young, that really hurts.
That one is a bummer.
Losing Darren Collison really hurts. He was
Brogdon's better than him. Bogdanovic is who hurts.
Like, I'll be honest. I forgot about Brogdon for a second.
You hope Brogdon is an amalgamation of the best things that both Collison and Bogdanovic brought you, right? And then you just find value elsewhere.
Yeah, but between Thad Young, Collison, Tyreke Evans, and
Tyreke Evans was fucking garbage last year.
He was a body. I hate it. I don't like this pick. Evan, what about you?
All right.
Indiana. I like them. I don't know. I'm positive. I'm bullish on most teams, but I bought into the whole try-hard attitude of the Pacers last year, and maybe, just maybe, they make a move close to the deadline that kind of pushes them up into the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. Like Kevin Love. And
Kevin Love versus a bonus? Is that what you're insinuating here?
That's what I'm hoping for, because it kind of lines up with what the Cavs are looking for with a young player and throw it a draft pick. And maybe
I would be happy for Kevin Love and for us with that. I don't want to trade Kevin Love, but we can get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
So I'm calling a bit of an audible here. I was going to pick the Raptors, but I'm just a little too concerned about Masai blowing this up. I think he's going to do that by the deadline. So I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Nets here. I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Nets.
I thought it was. I'm rescinding my what.
They kept a lot of the same role players. Jared Allen's going to get better. Joe Harris, I like. Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie to start the year when the Brooklyn Nets got off to a hot start. Those are their best two guards. And then when they got hurt, D'Angelo Russell took over. I really, really do believe in LeVert. I think he can step up. Getting Kyrie is an upgrade from D'Angelo Russell. I think it's a considerable upgrade. Kyrie finally gets his first good coach since Cleveland. I just think that they have the depth to get over the Kevin Durant injury. Prince also helps them there as well. And if KD does come back, it has a bit of an upside swing to it. But at the very least, I feel pretty good about them getting a second round in the East this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a terrible pick in the end. Like, you're just betting on continuity, and then Kyrie's better than D'Angelo Russell. So, to that end, I get it. But I also just think, like, I think I don't like the pick just because there's such a team in waiting. Like, yeah. We know it's not about this year for them. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, what about this year says Indiana Pacers? This is their year.
It's not about that. I'm just saying their focus is elsewhere.
For Brooklyn, I think their ceiling is a second-round exit. And that's pie in the sky, Kyrie's and Moody, and actually defers to his teammates, and everything works out in the end. But
that's still not bad value for this spot in the draft.
I agree. And I also agree with your Raptors assessment. That's why I made a face when you picked the Nets, because the Raptors are I don't feel safe picking them either. It just because, like, Masai could blow this whole thing operation up, no hesitation. But just to circle back to the Nets, there is a bit of continuity just with a lot of those key pieces still there. You sprinkle in Kyrie and get him acclimated, and then, you, like Carter said, you're waiting for Durant, possibly even longer. But, second-round exit at best, and I think that's totally fine, but I don't think they're going to be making a seriously deep run this offseason or postseason.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me get your back-to-back picks here, Evan. We'll speed it up because I don't think we have to go as in-depth here.
Okay. I'm still going to avoid the Raptors like the plague, so I'm going to go with the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. Do you have anything to elaborate on there and any reason for these picks?
Heat culture is a bunch of BS, but Jimmy Butler's a pretty good player, and the East is pretty weak. Bam's a good player. They have some solid supporting pieces. Bolster's
Bam not better than Mason Plumlee Winslow? Or fuck. Adebayo.
You nailed that, Carter. I'm so proud of you.
I was so – you ever get so excited to make a joke that you fuck it up?
It happens.
Oh man, I don't hate those picks. I mean, they're reliably good. Miami always has a chance of trading for a star or something. It's just funny to get Pat Riley and Popovich back to back. It's got me thinking of our next sponsor here, which is Roman. Guys, we're terrible at taking care of our own health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than going to see a doctor. The same is true for erectile dysfunction, which Pat Riley and Greg Popovich might be dealing with. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/bluewire and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Guys, go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really easy to get checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to roman.com/bluewire to get a free visit online and with 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/bluewire for a free visit to get started. getroman.com/bluewire.
Justin, one of my very favorite things about ad reads is me reading the copy along with you.
Oh, man.
just to watch you as you, when you do trip up, because I know where you're tripping up and stumbling and you're like, oh, fuck. And, you know, everyone likes a smooth ad read, just like everyone loves a smooth shave. And if shaving is a terrible experience for you, we got you covered at Blue Wire. Our podcast network is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes, Justin, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, and you just get all that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough with the low quality razors from convenience stores. Imagine buying a razor at CVS. Couldn't be me. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Sign up today. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. That's over 94 years, Justin. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, just let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Not getting that from Schick. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brain decision, just like my next pick here. I'm pretty happy that these guys fell, even though they're fraudulent. They're usually a consistent second-round bet, and that's the Portland Trail Blazers.
I started typing before you even started.
Yeah, I mean, nothing too sexy there. They added Hassan Whiteside, Kent Bazemore, Hazonian, Nazir Little, who I like, and Anthony Tolliver. Lost Al-Farouq Aminu, Curry, Harkless, Enes Kanter, Evan Turner, Myers Leonard. I mean, it's a lot of mediocrity coming in, but they still kind of had the pieces necessary to be decent in the West. And at this point in the draft, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, this is, I think it's a good pick. And I was kind of couldn't believe they didn't get picked earlier, because they were one of the two teams I was thinking about between them and the Pacers. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were just still on the board is pretty surprising to me, if I'm being honest. I think that they got worse this offseason, though, and I think that's worth discussing. Like, they had kind of their miracle run and, like, still couldn't even come close to beating the Warriors without Kevin Durant and without Iggy, I think, in one of the games, too. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like if I were the Blazers, I would very much be on the – we gave it the best shot with our core, but even under good circumstances, we couldn't make it happen. And, like, we've just hit our ceiling. But I'm not an NBA player, so I don't know. What do you think, Evan?
Well, I think your assessment's fair, and kind of reminds me of that Simpsons quote where Homer tells the kids that they tried their best, but they failed miserably. So I think the lesson from Portland is to never try at this point. But I like CJ McCollum. I like Damian Lillard. I like those two together, but I don't think it's sustainable. Mm-hmm. Just the defense, just defensively, just doesn't work for me. That's why I also have a lot of reservations with what the Cavs are going to do, even after what you pointed out, Justin. But I've pointed this out a few times to people. Portland is weird, where they made a bunch of lateral moves while the rest of the Western Conference improved. It's just like they got rid of a few players that are noteworthy, but albeit the role players at their peak, and they brought in a very expensive role player in Whiteside, and just nothing really just like says, wow, you know what? Portland's definitely going to go back to the Western Finals. I think it was a bit of a fluke last year.
Yeah. To your point, I don't think there's anything wrong with pairing a Dame and CJ or a Lowry and DeRozan. The problem is making lateral moves and not cashing in, like just being complacent. That's my hope for the Cavs, is that they can at least build up to that point and then make a decision from there.
Oh, no, I agree.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, for like building up to that, that's great. But like when you're in the position Portland's in and the NBA is a little bit wide open and you were a conference finalist last year, just to –
Yeah, don't sit line. With your sausage in your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Just try and make a move, but I don't run an NBA team for a reason, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll surprise us, but I don't see it coming. Carter, you're on the clock.
All right. I think we're pretty comfortably past the realm of teams we kind of expect to be for sure playoff teams. Mm-hmm. So we're moving into uncharted waters, and I'm going to actually stay with what I know a little bit, and that's the Toronto Raptors. This team was perfectly fine in the regular season without Kawhi.
Oh, God, they were still there. I forgot that they were still there.
They sure were. I think that they're still going to win 45 to 50 games just as Siakam gets more and more usage. Like, before the finals, I might have said, hey, he's not really a true budding star. He's just a guy who kind of benefits from, you know, all the attention paid to his teammates. But, like, he was just taking it straight into Jaymon's chest off the dribble multiple times in that series. And I think maybe I undervalued his ceiling just a little bit in terms of his skill development. And, so right now I think that they're the pick for me. For my first pick and for my second pick, I'm struggling. And I'm between two young Western Conference teams that have young stars but not much track record of success. And I'm going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, thank God.
Woo. That tells me that you are going to pick the Dallas Mavericks, but...
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Kangs.
Kangs.
Yep. Give me my Kangs.
Well, let's discuss those two teams because I think they're really interesting. The Kings didn't really do much. They overpaid Harrison Barnes, who remains just not that useful of a player, but whatever. I think he's fine. They added Dwayne Dedmon to replace Willie Cauley-Stein in their starting lineup. They still don't really have their front court all the way figured out because I think Harry Giles and Bagley kind of make sense together there. I don't know. I just felt like I'm just not all the way bought in yet. I kind of believe in them, but not as much as everyone else seems to.
Yeah, I just think that internal growth is going to do them some good. I really do like... I mean, as long as Buddy Hield doesn't retire midseason, I think they'll be in good shape. De'Aaron Fox, I really think, is ready to take another jump. I like their core. I like their continuity. I feel better about them staying healthy as well than I do about the Pelicans or Mavericks. Like, I just do not trust Porzingis' body to hold up. And the Mavs just really don't have a lot of depth outside of their young two guys there. So I just feel better about that. I also worry about Zion's health. Also, they're relying very heavily on a rookie. So that's why I would have picked the Kings over the Pelicans if they were on the board. I do love your Raptors pick. I'm a little nervous about Siakam as the number one option because he's going to need to be the number one option offensively. Yeah. They're probably going to need OG and Anobi to take a leap. But that's going to be an interesting team, but I like your pick there. But overall, just kind of the young talent on the Kings, I think, swayed me over.
All right, that makes sense to me. Evan, I think you're up for your two for here.
I'm going to go safe for one with the Pistons because at least I feel like they're locked to make the playoffs.
Okay.
And
what?
At least the first round.
I don't hate that. But
at this point, and then I'm going to go I don't know. I really like Dallas just from the foundation of Luka and Porzingis. And I think Luka, he isn't
Team Proud out. Boys.
Yeah, Team Proud Boys. like Justin pointed out, they don't have a ton of depth, but I think Luka is that transcendental of a player. And if Porzingis comes back healthy and hoping he does, I mean, it's the knee injury like that for a big guy is always terrifying, but just hoping for the best. And I think Dallas is going to be all right. They're going to be fighting for that eighth seed in the West.
You definitely won over our Twitch stream. I think they've hated a lot of your picks, but the Mavs is a very popular one there. I get it. Like Luka and Porzingis, if both are healthy and if Porzingis is who he was before injuries and Luka takes another leap forward, not another leap forward because he just set his baseline, but if he does take a leap from what he was last season, that is an exciting team. I just don't believe in their depth at all. I'm going to go with a really not sexy pick here, but I think they're going to get me a 1 point for a playoff appearance and go with the Orlando Magic.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about them. And we're at that point in the draft at this point where they're not horrible.
Yeah.
Like, you will not get more than 1 point, but you will likely get the point just based on internal growth.
Yeah. Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, Aaron Gordon, Vucevic. Yeah, sure. Maybe Markel Fultz is something. Maybe he plays 10 games. I don't know. Carter, what are your picks here?
Oh, this is it's getting ugly, fellas.
Yeah, this is a dog's breakfast right now.
You know what? I think I'm going to stay in the West. I'm going to go with the T-Wolves.
Okay.
I think that they had a sneaky, decent pick of Culver, and Saric doesn't actually move the needle for them.
Isn't it funny how we went from, like, yeah, Jared Culver is going to take the Cavs to the playoffs if they draft him? Yeah, you know, that's a nice pick.
I think that pick is their first step in the beginning of the marginalization of Andrew Wiggins process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I don't know, I just think that they're probably the best choice for where we are in the draft. And then, you hate just about everything left on the board at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So unless I'm missing something, I think it has to be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, don't hate that. OKC is an okay pick there.
They're actually a sneaky. I'm gonna take a good hard look at their over this year.
Yeah,
because I think Chris Paul is a little better than people think he is right now, and they added a lot of good players on a team that didn't have a lot of good players last year.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Like, if they kept this together, which I'm not convinced they're going to do, I think they'll be good. And even if they
maybe a version of what the Clippers were last year, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree. I really like Steven Adams. I like a lot of their pieces there. I think Shai's going to take a step forward. Not bad. Not a bad pick. God, I really hate myself for doing this, but I'm taking the Chicago Bulls.
Okay. It wouldn't have been this high on the list for me, but that's fine.
Wendell Carter Jr., full year, healthy, hopefully. Kobe White, I really like. Lauri Markkanen's going to play a full year. Don't forget, the Bulls finish, like, somewhat decent. I like Satoransky for them. Thad Young's a good pickup. I just think they've added talent. I really, really, really like Otto Porter Jr. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I'm listing more competent players than a lot of these teams left have. That's and fair. For that reason, I'm going with the Bulls.
All right, Evan, you're up.
For the first pick, I'm going to go with the Hawks.
That was who I thought Justin was going to pick.
I almost did.
I really like Trae Young, Kevin Herter, DeAndre Hunter is a good pickup. Everyone likes John Collins at this point. I think you're weird if you don't. And they added some good depth this summer, and let's just see what happens with all their young potential. And then after that, it's
Jabari Parker.
Jabari. Maybe. Maybe he's the solution, but God, there's some slim pickings.
Yeah.
I think you know who to pick here.
The Grizzlies, because that's who I'm thinking.
Oh, my God. That's a good wrong, pick. But that's fine.
I like Jaren Jackson Jr. He's another draft Twitter and NBA Twitter darling. I like Brandon Clark a lot. Ja Morant will be fine, I hope. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to be sniffing the playoffs, but hey, maybe they'll be a little bit better than last year. But not good enough that they bump the Cavs out of the top three in the draft again.
Yeah, I can't wait for Ja to make Jaren just stand in the corner while he runs pick and roll with Brandon Clark. That's going to be great. I'm going with the Cavs here.
Yeah, that's who I think.
Cavs!
The Cavs.
If Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love stay healthy and Colin Sexton takes a leap and Jetty Osman is Jetty Osman and Darius Garland is in the Rookie of the Year conversation, we're talking about a playoff team here.
Yeah, if we're fists, we'd all be really drunk right now.
you're not wrong, but I think this is good value. I think this is a really mediocre team that's probably going to win 27 games, but there is a path to the playoffs, and for me, that's all I need at this point. I could realistically have every single team I picked right now make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think. Well, first off, no, you're not right. But, I get it. I think it was time for the Cavs. I actually would have taken them before the Grizzlies just because they're in the East. But to that end, I'm going to stay in the East with my next pick, and take the best available individual player left on the board and take the Wizards.
Oh.
And then,
I forgot
and about. Then I'm going to take the next best individual player on the board and take the Suns.
Ooh.
Justin, it's the 28th overall pick. Come on.
No, you could have done better.
I don't think so.
Next tape, baby.
I'm happy Barrett. To leave the Hornets for you. If you're going to take the Knicks, go ahead.
Dennis Smith Jr., RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson. They got the talent. They got the goods, man. For those on the Twitch stream, they can see that Noodles, my puppy, is here. I am going with the next day, baby. This is some good value. I'm very here for this.
All right. So that leaves the Hornets to Evan. Who do we think has the best team here?
Oh, it's me. I think everyone, you know what? Whoever's listening to this, comment on the podcast, leave us a review with who picked the best team. I'm gonna con you into leaving reviews in that way. I'm sure our Discord's going to be sounding off on who has the best team here. We'll post a clip of this on Twitter as well and put up a poll. I feel pretty good about this. We'll revisit this after the playoffs next year. That is our commitment. This podcast is going to keep going, folks. We're like some sort of STD that doesn't fully go away.
That's us. That's kind of our brand.
Yeah, we're just always there. I feel really, really good about my picks. I think that I by far had the best draft, and this is mock draft season. If I was going on my bookie and the odds were up here, I would feel good about myself. So I don't know about you guys. Does anybody have a pick that they regret at this point, or that they wish they could have changed?
You know, I think maybe I would have taken the Warriors over the Jazz. Wait, no, never mind. That was the wrong in the snake order. No, I think my picks were fine. Maybe the Rockets went too late. I think the Rockets and Warriors went too late. I think they should have gone above the Sixers and Nuggets in the end.
I don't hate that. I don't like your Sixers pick. That was the one that really got it. Evan, do you have any regrets?
No, I just still want to know why Carter was so shocked I picked the Pistons. I think they're a free 1 point, which is how bad the East is.
I think you are grossly mischaracterizing what the word free means.
With how bad the bottom five in the East is, though. Somebody's got to make that eight spot.
You ain't wrong. Ultimately, I think we all did fairly fine. I think we kind of know who the playoff teams are this year for the most part. But
yeah, it's the Milwaukee Bucks, Denver Nuggets, Golden State Warriors, Brooklyn Nets, Trailblazers, Kings, Magic, Bulls, Cavs, and Knicks.
Cavs and Knicks. Yep. You fucking got it. ultimately, I think we did okay. I think that who makes the playoffs will be less determinant in who wins this little game of ours than who makes deep runs.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's typically how these things end up. I think I'm going to do best in the first round, and then one of you guys is going to beat me as the playoffs progress. Because I mean, when I really think about it, I don't feel good about the Bucks, Nuggets, or Warriors winning a title.
Yeah, you're a big dumb idiot.
Yeah, well, all you want. I can hear the boredom over your own picks, so that's probably a good time to wrap this up. Evan, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. Plug yourself. I'm going to do the lazy host thing here and just say plug your crap, man.
You can find me on Twitter at amnotevan. It's a really lazy old Childish Gambino Tumblr reference. And I'm more common on Forbes. It's a bit of a dry spell right now, but hopefully with training camp and the World Cup coming around soon, I'll be putting up some stuff. And then I'm on Fear the Sword too. Like you guys mentioned at the beginning, it's usually whatever Chris wants me to do a roundtable discussion because, I don't know, he for some reason likes having me to give my bad ideas. But
he invites you when he doesn't invite me. And I'm going to take that up with him, but it's a little hurtful.
Yeah. Get wrecked, Justin.
You're brought in when it's serious journalist time. I think that's what's happening there. But yes, absolutely. Follow Evan at amnotevan. You know where to find Carter and myself. If you're listening to this and don't follow us on Twitter, that'd be pretty damn weird. But thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you support the podcast. Support our sponsors. My Bookie, Roman, and Harry's. Shout out to three sponsors this week. We're getting big time, Carter. It's pretty exciting. And if you want to support the podcast directly, you can do so by throwing us a subscription on Twitch. That's awesome. It goes directly to us. You can also subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast host. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. And tell your friends and family about it. Word of mouth goes a long way. Cavs season's coming up soon. There's a lot of things to get excited about with this team, and we will be covering all of it. So thanks to Carter, thanks to Evan, thanks to our listeners, and until next time, go Cavs.